mean, whatever it is. Oh, apparently, I guess since I'm talking, I get to do intros.
Apparently.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up there, Zoom, that recording's in progress. Hi, welcome to Binary Jazz, where a cadre of friends comes together to discuss a topic with little to no information on said topic. Joined, as always, by my friends on the internet, Allison, Chris, I'm Gary. Binary Jazz does us if you want to know more. But if you're here, you knew enough to find us. So this ain't your point of entry is all I'm saying. Hi.
Chances are your point of entry are you know one of us.
Probably. That's fairly likely. Oh, I didn't even open up my Binary Jazz collection of tabs.
You have a collection of tabs for Binary Jazz?
I have a group of tabs for Binary Jazz, yeah.
I have like a single note in my 1Password for how to access our server. And like, I don't have my password. I don't know what my password is. I just reset it anytime I need to log in. Like, I guess I'm practicing minimalism here.
I did my annual Binary Jazz donation to Wikipedia yesterday.
Nice. Oh, that's rad.
Because I use it so much.
In the name of Binary Jazz?
No, it's in my name. Sorry. I should put it in the name of Binary Jazz, though, because it's not like I get a tax receipt or anything. Or I do, but it's US.
It's like I use it. Yeah. I get it. I donated somewhere the other day, and somebody else like that is like part of this saw that I donated in the message and said, did you get like a tax deductible receipt? Like, I don't know. Like, for the amount I donated, that's a lot of paperwork to bring into this. So no. I can only assume that no is the answer because I don't have it. So whatever.
Oh.
I know how we do it. I was gonna ask, how do we schedule publishing these podcasts? We use like a server that has cron running. And you just schedule the post.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I schedule it and then it comes out. Yeah,
okay.
Chris schedules it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a WordPress thing. Just WordPress scheduling posts. But I did not upload the video to YouTube last week.
What does that mean?
That means that there is a YouTube embed that or a spot for YouTube embed that doesn't have anything because it didn't get uploaded to YouTube.
Can you just put the Rickroll video in?
Yeah, that's totally okay. What I'm going to do.
Drive away our one viewer.
I mean, yeah, we don't.
Is there any, what's the benefit? Honestly, what's the benefit of using YouTube over like a podcast client? I mean video,
we do.
Obviously.
We do use, it is published to all the podcast clients.
Well, I know, but. Like, what would be the benefit from a consumer perspective? Like, I guess video is the answer. Like, I get to see these lovely people that are talking.
Yes, that is the benefit.
Okay. When we like make video, visual references, like,
yeah, there's good.
Yeah, when I talk about the size of the fish that I caught, which right, I frequently yeah, like, do.
This thing.
I
mean,
there's a fair amount of times when we do things with our hands, wherein it might be something that. You need to like see.
What card was that, Allison?
It was a peacock.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means?
Superficial beauty, but really annoying.
But really annoying sounds.
Really annoying underneath.
Yeah, but
I can tell you what the card creator meant it to mean in my little pamphlet.
Well, but Chris, I don't know if like the thing is a peacock doesn't always show its feathers, right? Like it's a decision. So hidden beauty.
It's not resurrection, really hidden. Vision, nope. Sensitivity, beauty, but not in an external way. Instead, peacock is a reminder not to take beauty or anything too seriously. Lightheartedness, laughter, and gratitude. Beauty comes from the inside and makes you beautiful on the outside.
Yeah, but okay. But peacocks, like it's a peacock, not a peahen. And peacocks have those feathers because they are it is external beauty because they're trying to attract a mate. It's all external. Peacocks are assholes. Like, they're asshole birds.
Welcome and they to do the
it.
Show,
they
Chris
do it to attract
birds.
Attention. That is entirely why they have like the feathers that look the way they do and why they put them up and, you know, wave them around because they're trying
maybe
to attract.
Maybe that's the
mates.
Part though that they're not always up. They're just like sometimes just down.
That's not really hidden though.
Semantics.
I won't argue that peacock.
Today's topic is peacocks.
Peacocks are assholes.
Yeah.
They sure are loud.
I have a friend that lives near Miami who has them in her yard frequently, and it's problematic. And there was a discussion on whether they are edible or not. But that's just a Florida conversation. Like,
wait, what?
Same thing with iguana. Are they edible? Like, could you exert population control by eating them?
I mean
anything.
Yeah.
Well, not anything.
Everything's either. Edible.
Yeah.
At least once. Maybe just once in some cases. Well, the same topic when it gets cold in Miami and the iguanas fall out of trees. Like, are they edible? Like, they're
we
lean.
Have this mushroom guidebook and it tells you whether things are edible or not. And there's one listening that says like edible, but you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's like, you won't get poisoned, but it doesn't taste good.
I was talking to, we've already started recording, right? Yeah, oh yeah, I did intros. this is just the banter portion of the day. I was talking to an old manager yesterday. Well, he's not old, previous manager.
starting it off right.
I'm killing it. And we talk, you know, maybe like once every 4 months or so is our cadence. We just catch up for like an hour, and it's wonderful. It's great because he's a brilliant mind in the industry, et cetera. Brilliant mind in the industry, et cetera. You know, blah blah blah, whatever. No, but he really is, and I enjoy talking with him, and it makes me think a lot about how I approach work. But we were talking about, you know, like my move from Florida to North Carolina, and I was observing that there were a lot of things that just happened in Florida that I accepted as normal. That are like not actually normal.
Like everything.
So one of my examples was like, there was a story that someone was laughing about in my old company Slack about how someone took an alligator to a Quickie Mart. And then I was like, oh, I wonder where that was. And I Googled and it was like 4 blocks from me. So then I was like, that doesn't seem like looking at where that area is, like that doesn't seem too outlandish actually. And then I realized like, I was like defending this as like a normal thing. Like it should just be fine for someone to bring an alligator into a Quickie Mart. Like not like on a leash, but like carrying it like a small, you know, like. And then so we laughed about that. And I said, I feel like if that happened in the city I'm in now, it would be like news for a week. Whereas in Florida, it was like a blip. And like, you know, the next article was on, God, who knows what. That place is crazy as hell, man.
Well, it's like there was that thing that was floating around that was basically like type in Florida man and then your birthday and see what comes up. And there's like, there's something for every day, and it's just exciting.
Oh yeah, you get options. Yeah, yeah. So in the past, I have defended Florida and saying, well, some of that is the sunshine laws, in that, like, as a result
yes,
of
I
like,
do recall you saying that.
O.J. Simpson. Yes, thank O.J. Simpson for this sunshine laws. Blah blah blah. But the reality is, like, I feel like if someone were in another state and like hopped into a place with an alligator, like that's not an arrest record. That's like that's not sunshine law stuff. So I say that, but that only applies to like arrest related stories. There are a lot of crazy stories in Florida that have nothing to do with people getting arrested, and I realized that the sunshine laws only cover a portion of the craziness and a small percentage of that. So yeah, the place is wacky as hell. I love it. It's home. I don't know that I have the energy to live there anymore. It takes a lot out of you.
That's a good way of putting it, though.
Oh, I talked to my parents on Wednesday. We can't go there. What's the topic today? They live in Florida, so that's all.
The topic today is crepuscule.
Carpuscule. C-A-R-P-C-R-E. Crepuscule. P-U-S-C-U-L-E.
Yes. But this is not a spelling bee, Chris, as we've discussed previously.
The crepuscule.
I know this word, actually. I don't know what it means, but I've heard it before. I've actually probably even used it in a sentence.
A crepuscule is when you get like a blackhead or something, and then you kind of pick at it, and then it fills with like pus again, and kind of makes it like a pussy scab. That's a crepuscule.
Well, that's gonna make my description even grosser, because you know, like when you look at the outside of a pineapple and there's like the little individual cells, those are the pineapple crepuscules.
Oh. Yep. That seems mundane. Extra Chris's definition.
It does seem mundane. And also, like, I don't want to talk about food after Chris's, so. Oh, actually, I do want to talk about food, but not in the context of the topic. Katie is coming up on a year being vegetarian, and it was Tuesday night we had dinner, and it was the first time she had had salad, like conventional boring salad, like iceberg lettuce, carrots, radish, you know, that thing. She was like, oh, this is really good. Like, and it caught me as funny that it was the first time she had a head salad. We're also looking at when she does hit the year, like early in October, we're going to go, there's a vegan restaurant in Charlotte. I think we're going to do takeout from to celebrate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it can be hard to become a vegetarian in a family of non-vegetarians sometimes, depending on the flow and how meals are handled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, initially, I think we had a harder time like thinking through like how do we do dinner that also like Katie has things to eat, but
yeah,
you know, like we're not all vegetarian, and that's fine. But I think that's actually gotten easier because we've explored and found things that she gets excited about, and we were already, you know, a few times a week, like, you know, just vegetarian by default. That meal was just vegetarian, and there wasn't any second thought to it. So yeah, it's anyway, I'm excited for her. That's my food conversation today.
Mm-hmm. I waited until I moved out, or like I went to school and lived somewhere else basically, and like had control over my own, because it's not like my parents weren't into it, it's just that they weren't into the extra planning, and they couldn't at the time imagine a world without an entree that was meat. Mm-hmm. But they've since come around. They eat vegetarian like all the time. But it just took like 20 years.
Yeah, my parents have no longer think it's weird. Or and no longer ask the questions, well, what do you eat? Or like, well, what do you do?
What do you eat?
Seriously.
Generally, like, food. I mean, yeah. It's.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, especially for people that aren't, don't have vegetarians they interact with very, or vegans that they interact with, they just like don't understand how to formulate a meal without meat in it. And like, it's the same meal. It just doesn't have meat in it. You know, like you do something else, just replace that thing with some other thing that is similar, and then you have what we eat.
Yeah. I don't know, sometime this year I started doing this thing where like Sundays was like the day where I really go whole hog cooking, and like not just like, oh, make dinner, but like really like I'm gonna go to like the most raw ingredients I can get, you know.
Like crepuscules.
Go like pineapple crepuscules. I go, yeah.
We're going to see some carpuscules. We're going to go to the beach, and we're going to see like tide pools and stuff. So there's definitely going to be some carpuscules on the rocks.
Oh, that might actually be what it is. Right?
No, those are limpets.
Oh.
Barnacles.
That's a much maligned band from the 90s.
Limpets?
Yeah.
You could go to the tide pools in the crepuscule of the day.
Oh,
is that a clue, or is that are you just like making shit up now?
It's a clue.
Carpuscle. Okay. Oh, it's a type of fish. It's a type of type of shellfish.
No, but it's shellfish with only one vowel. Led you to think that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to talk about sweet potatoes.
Okay,
where sweet I wanted
potatoes.
To go. Sorry,
did you say street potatoes?
No, sweet potatoes. Yes. I got sweet potatoes on Sunday and Brussels sprouts. And sweet potatoes like half the size that I cut the Brussels sprouts to, so they would get a little crispy, and roasted them. And I keep thinking about them, especially like the outside leaves of the Brussels sprouts. Like, oh, that right there is a meal. Those two things with seasoning. Honestly, like
you get your sweet potato or your Brussels sprouts crispy. How do you like put anything on them?
No, just the outside. Well, I mean, so I put them in a bag with some oil and some seasoning and shake them in there, right?
Yeah.
So that they're evenly coated, and then I probably took them out. I did like 400 degrees for 20 minutes. Took them out. They weren't done, obviously. Threw some more seasoning on. Rotated, flipped, blah blah blah. Back in. And then like the seasoning I put on was like, I put like white pepper, salt, I don't remember what else. Probably oregano. That seems to be like one I grab all the time. I don't know. I don't even remember what I put on. Doesn't matter. But then at the end I was like, all right, I'm going to throw just a little bit of brown sugar on and just like a light caramelization. Not enough to be like, oh, this is sweet, but enough to like get there. But what happened as a result was that a lot of the Brussels sprouts that had like the outside from being shaken in a bag and being moved around, like they were, the outside was kind of, you know, beat up. So these leaves were flaking off and they got so nicely done. I'm like, I just want that. Like I want like a bag full of that. And
when we were in Monterey, or last time we went to the aquarium in Monterey, I should say, we actually had food there. And you never eat food at the Monterey Bay Aquarium because the food is ridiculously expensive. It's just not a thing that you do. But we did that thing. And they had, it was like caramelized Brussels sprout leaves, like specifically use caramelized Brussels, and it was that thing that you're describing where it's literally just the leaves and they're all super like hard and crispy, and they're amazing.
And it's like different than kale because it's a thinner leaf to start with, so it's a totally different sensation. I think I know what I'm doing after this call.
Yeah, I've been
like
trying to figure out
make how to a do zine, that thing. you would make a food zine. And it would just be all about whatever you ate that week.
I mean, I could talk about that a lot. A lot. I mean, I also tried to do like Parmesan angel hair pasta, and it was a disaster. So it was like it was on the drier side. I don't know what I missed there. And the noodles were really sticky together, and I expected that like with more starch and angel hair, but it just didn't pan out. It was fine. You can't win them all. And then I did like garlic shrimp with them. Well, obviously Katie's not eating garlic shrimp, but that was just like a thing by itself. It was like there were three big things on the table and you could eat whatever portion of whichever one you wanted. I didn't want any of the noodles. The kids seemed like the noodles. Like, okay, all right, it's fine.
And that's a carpuscule.
Man. Last night we had mango and pineapple. Yeah. And other stuff, but the mango and pineapple really spoke to me.
Have you ever seen when people cut a pineapple by like taking those carpuscules?
Yes. Because then you have like a little handle on it.
Yeah.
I would think for like party events, that would be perfect. Thankfully, I don't throw parties, so never have to figure out how to do
it. All my pineapple by myself.
I wrote a pineapple song once.
You wrote a pineapple song?
Yeah. I should say I helped write a pineapple song once. I didn't write the entire pineapple song.
Was it about apples and pineapples and pens?
Nope. I had nothing to do with that. I don't understand that. It's funny, but I have no idea what the heck was going on there.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm referring to, right?
Okay. Pen, pineapple, apple, pen. Yeah. And it was so cute. I showed it to Ty because he was very young the first time I saw it. And it was so cute seeing him try to figure out how to say pen, pineapple, apple, pen. Because it's not really a tongue twister, but when you're, you know, I guess 3 or 4, whatever he was.
Everything's a tongue twister when you're that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to get the words out and together. So, yeah. Yep. Man. So I had another thought about food.
Mm-hmm.
Not particular food. But just food in general. Like there is a there's a thing where like when you eat with people, right? Like there's like relationship there. Like whether you want it or not, like, but there's like a what's the word I'm looking for? Like there's a yeah, but also like you have to like let your guard down, right? A vulnerable, that's the word I'm thinking. There's a little bit of vulnerability there when you're dining with someone. That's it. That was a thought. It didn't really get.
Because you have to put your caveman weapons down.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely something like deeply rooted in being like an animal, you know, for sure. I agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
But aren't you picking your caveman weapons up in the to eat the food?
Oh, those are different.
Depends.
Those are civilized person.
Yeah, weapons. Those are just your dining tools.
It depends on what you're eating. Like if it's a handheld.
It's true. If it's like medieval times.
I will club you with a grilled cheese. Oh, dang. I want that for lunch.
These are all dreams you can make a reality though.
It's true.
Oh, I still have some really good Parmesan in there. Maybe I'll just do that. Parmesan and dang. All right, one more fun anecdote that has nothing to do with the topic because that's how I'm rolling.
Everything
today
has something to do with the topic.
I'll be curious how you associate it here. We're doing these. I'm
walking. Accepted.
In the morning, I don't know if I'm gonna get there or not. But I thought maybe, like, I started looking at it and I did some math and I'm like, you know, it wouldn't take too much more effort to say I'm gonna walk 1,000 miles before my next birthday. So. Now I'm really motivated when my alarm clock goes off, as opposed to previous when my alarm clock went off and it was like a 50-50 shot whether I was going to get up and walk. But now I'm like, oh, damn, I got to do it because I got to put the numbers in. So Wednesday I got up. It was fine. Weather was, you know, whatever. Put my shoes on out the door. I kind of wake up like a mile into it is when my brain starts working. And I'm like, oh, damn, is that thunder? So I'm kind of paying attention to it. And I get downtown and it's downtown's like a mile and a quarter from me. And I'm looking and listening. It's pretty far off in the distance. Pull up my phone to check and see like, yeah, we're going to be getting rain in the, you know, the next like 20 minutes or so. And I'm not going to be home by then, even if I turn around. I'll just keep going. So I get like 2 miles in and I'm at the, you know, almost the furthest point where I go. And it's still thundering. And I'm like, I think it's getting closer. And then, so I'm doing the thing like where the lightning happens and you count. And I counted like 15. I'm like, it's far enough away. And then it's like getting closer and closer as I'm walking. I'm like, this thing is moving quick. And I'm about to be like in an area where it's like an open field. Like I should not do that. So I sent Ron a message. I'm like, hey, is there any chance you could pick me up at the park? Knowing that, you know, it's early. The kids are just awake and it's got to load a whole group up to come get me. Yeah, I can do that. And so I at the park, I camped out underneath the entry to the bathroom because it wasn't open yet at that point in the morning, just waiting. And the rain started to fall and I'm waiting, you know, for them to come pick me up. And there were a few hits of lightning that were close enough and loud enough that confirmed my decision to not venture onward.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm here with you today because I'm not dead. And
there are moments where you're like, yeah, I'm convening with nature. And then there's other moments where you're like, nature doesn't like me. I should...
And I've done that walk where it's like raining and there's no lightning. And that's, you know, it's different. I mean, in some ways it's a little unpleasant because it's cooler and my socks are wet and it's not ideal, but also like it's a total different interaction with everything. And it sounds different and feels different. And, you know, this would have felt different too, like crispy. I'd have been like a Brussels sprout leaf.
And that is crepuscule, is when you get crispy like a Brussels sprout.
Man,
There you go.
I'm gonna have to swing by the farmer's market tomorrow and see. That's the best way to plan vegetables.
What do you have? What are crepuscules?
Crepuscule is another word for twilight.
Twilight. Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't really? Close. I mean, not even a little.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I guess because it sounds like pustule. We did get some feedback on the
internet. Real feedback? You always get my hopes up, and then it's
no, not real feedback.
That's rad.
We never get real feedback. This is in a combination of Russian and English. It is from the person. I'm not gonna, you know, share the links. There are many links, but the person who the name on it is Ruth Abavi, but the email address is Allison Gone 1992.
Oh no.
Okay, so there is a section in Russian.
Can you read it?
I'm translating it now. So the part that's in Russian, I'm just trying to figure out where. Okay, that's where it breaks. All right, I'm just trying to figure out where it breaks. All right, so the part that's in Russian is, I absolutely agree with you. There is something about that, and it's a good idea. I support you. And then following that is in English, and it says, your favorite photographs, it was all, and then a URL. Fairly enjoyable. He was, they mentioned, a playboy and gambler, and Buenos Aires was a city.
Still is.
I mean, it was kind of supportive there, and I appreciated the, like...
Well, then the Russian stuff is new to me, because I didn't translate that when it came in, so I only saw the your favorite photographs, it was all, link here, fairly enjoyable, he was, they mentioned a playboy and gambler, and Buenos Aires was a city, and I was like, okay, this is obviously robot spam, so I didn't even get the supportive stuff. I feel like the supportive stuff is probably the best part of that spam.
Obviously robot spam is, I'm calling dibs on for band name.
Obviously robot spam.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Boy, spam is a, spam's tough, huh?
Again, just think about, audience.
What's that?
Nothing. I was making a joke about spam.
Oh, I just like
vegetarians here.
Well, I don't know. I don't appreciate the food, but just conceptually as a company, like the internet's like, oh, we're calling unwanted mail your product.
That's fair.
That's not what the marketing department wants.
Yeah.
I don't think the product development team actually cares. Product development is spam. Oh God. We're working on a new concept. It's called a Dyson sphere. It's been too long since we spoke of the Dyson sphere.
Has it though? Has it been too long? I'm not sure.
It's ever present.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I would say it's been too long. The less we talk about it, you know, probably the better it is.
The larger it gets.
Nope. It's never going to get better. It's never going to get better, Chris. It's the title of the episode that dropped last Friday, Rotten to the Core. Oh man.
No, that was the rot is so deep.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, so the rot deep. Is so deep.
God. Yeah.
You're getting your rotten titles mixed up.
I must say I skipped that episode, which makes it not special.
I mean, yeah, I was gonna say.
I should listen to it. I should subscribe and listen while I walk.
Should you? I mean, why stop a good thing?
Why start now?
Why start listening now?
Yeah. Why make a commitment to this thing at this point? Well, that's fair. You have a solid point. Can you hear the fountain behind me?
I cannot.
Okay.
No.
I can through my headphones, and it's, I was just thinking, well, you know, whatever, 38 minutes or whatever into this thing, maybe I should have unplugged it.
Whatever. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
No, well, don't ruin the illusion that it's a gigantic fountain you can't unplug.
It's kind of weird. Like, I don't know. It looks like it's been there a while. And the previous owners,
you know, that I like to envision you on kind of a Hearst Castle property.
Well, let's go to my phone. That's, I don't know if I'll keep internet over there.
Don't ruin my illusion.
Oh no, it's I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Like it's
lose
actually a
your illusion.
I think so, there should be.
So like,
no, there's no statues in that fountain. My illusion is ruined.
There's this little naked boy, cherub or whatever.
Little naked boy.
And behind is a birdhouse for the kids made. And here's another one right here.
Oh, nice.
They were like, can we hang it by the trees around the fountain? I'm like, of course. And then just past the fountain, like the hill rolls off. Let's go look down the hill.
As long as you don't roll down the hill.
I know. Well, it's a long way down. So I don't know if you can see that.
Oh.
Like it goes way down there. There's probably like some, yeah, there's like a
you're not in the poison ivy right now, are you?
No, this is English ivy. There actually has been a little poison ivy over here. I should check. I don't see any at this point, but I can show you where the poison ivy is too. Walk with me. Let's see some poison ivy.
Walking toward
the podcast is now called "Walk with Me," the Gary Kovar story.
So I was sitting right there to my right. We went over to the fountain, which is over my right shoulder, but the poison ivy is. Let's see. Yeah, there's actually some right here on this tree that like yellowish green, that's actually dying poison ivy, which is cool. But down this hill, there's a lot of English ivy, and with the English ivy is the poison ivy.
That's sneaky.
Oh, it's frustrating. Oh, that's the area where I was. Oh, there's some like right there too. I keep this area clean so the kids don't get into it. But this is the area here where I was down the hill and was like hitting it with a weed whacker, and then realized like I was aerosolizing the yeah. And then here's the creepy stairs. I think I've shown you pictures of these, but these are pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When we first moved in, like, you couldn't even really see down there. So I've done quite a bit of cleaning up. And then down there is just, if I had internet down there, I would work down there all the time. I would need, like, some kind of mosquito protection, but it's...
Just a gigantic dome of mosquito netting.
I would love to, over time, like, build... like some platforms down there so we could have a spot to go and run like, you know, electric down there so we can turn fans, keep the mosquitoes away and go down there and eat. And the kids love to go down there and play. It's such a weird, like that area down there can't be developed because it's just not really accessible and it's a steep hill, which is great because it means that all the stuff growing back there is just, you know, like I go back there, like I cut the really aggressive vines down and then just leave everything else as it is and just marvel at it. There's that.
And that's a Chris Pesco. Oh, wait, no, we did that part of the show.
Do you know? it's the season where the hickory trees drop their nuts. So we have like.
Oh, that's fun.
Thousands of these, which hurt when they fall.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Some, you get smashed in a head.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.